We like to root history in a place. We like to anchor it into something tangible. We want to know that this happened here. It makes history more real and allows us to feel, in some small way, a part of the past. A few years ago, I found myself in a place I never thought I'd be, way out toward the tip of Long Island in a village called Springs. I'd known about it for some time and had always wanted to go, but honestly figured that the chance would never come. My host, whom I was there to see for an unrelated purpose, drove me out a little gravelly road to a small farmhouse where painter Jackson Pollock had lived and worked. The curator walked me out to the little workshop behind the house and unlocked the door. She then directed me to take off my shoes and put on a little pair of foam slippers. Having done so, I then stepped into the room where Pollock had painted many of his famous drip paintings in the late 1940s. The innumerable streaks and drops of paint were still right there on the floor where they had trailed off the edge of the canvas, which he had spread out flat to work on. You could even see the outlines of the individual canvases. Some of the most famous works of 20th century art were created in this very room, and I was alone in it, gazing at the skeins of paint laid down by the artist himself. It felt like he'd just stepped away for a moment. It was a moving experience. Another famous site associated with Pollock and his fellow abstract expressionists was the Cedar Bar, a little hole-in-the-wall dive on 8th Street in New York City where numerous painters hung out, drank, and ran tabs when they didn't have enough money to buy a beer. Here they discussed and fought over their ideas about art and who was best as they each struggled to achieve some sort of breakthrough. For them, the challenge of making new art was real. Up-and-coming artists who wanted to make it in New York all came to the Cedar just as soon as they got off the bus or the train, hoping to soak up the atmosphere and maybe even meet Pollock or Willem de Kooning, Franz Klein, or Mark Rothko. The Cedar is gone now, but such vibrant sites are not just in New York, nor involved only with the visual arts. Any fan of the Grand Ole Opry knows that just across the alley from the back door of the famous Ryman Auditorium in Nashville is an equally cramped bar called Tootsie's Orchid Lounge. In the 1960s, Tootsie's was, for future legends of country music, what the Cedar had been for painters. Singer-songwriter Roger Miller supposedly wrote his classic song, Dang Me, sitting at one of the bar stools. Willie and Waylon and Patsy Cline were all there. Today it's crowded with tourists, all of whom want to feel a connection to American cultural history. Places like these are where the history of art can suddenly spring to life.